Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in to the Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy, live from the Allo Communications Studios. Joining me now, as he tends to do around this time, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Got a lot to talk about with Mark. We'll talk some spring football, Jabari Walker, the decision there. Mark, my friend, always great to catch up with you.
Good to be on with you, Brady.
Mark, let's talk about Jabari first. We kind of saw that coming. I mean, we're seeing it. Not just in the state, but all over. You know, if you're a halfway decent player, if you're a pretty good player, you're going to go get a look, and you're going to see if you have what it takes and just be evaluated. Doesn't mean that Jabari is gone, though. So talk to us about what this means and potentially where you think he could end up next season.
Well, it all depends who you talk to. You know, my broadcast partner, Scott Wilkie, who played professionally for about 15 years, has got a lot of his or guys that he played with and against and around that are NBA scouts now. And so I had him make a phone call to talk to a few of those guys and just get a sense of what they're thinking about Jabari or what kind of evaluation they're putting on him. And, you know, what Scott came back with was late first, early second round. I mean, somewhere in there. And so he's kind of in that gray area a little bit. And so right now he's going to test the waters. You know, we've seen George King do this in recent years. We saw McKinley Wright do it a couple of years ago. And it's a nice option for guys to have. It used to be that when you declared, you were gone, period. Now they can go to the camps, they can get evaluation, they can really see what teams think, get some real hard evidence from what some of the general managers and scouts are telling them, and then make an educated decision. Now, my guess would be, and this is simply my guess, I don't know anything. I've talked with Jabari's dad a little bit, obviously talked with Jabari, and my guess would be he goes to the NBA. Yeah, that's just my gut feeling at this point in time. You know, with McKinley a couple of years ago, I always felt McKinley was going to come back. George King ended up leaving early. And so I wasn't shocked. No, at that time I kind of got the sense George is probably going to go. My sense is he goes. If he comes back, I'll be exceptionally surprised and exceptionally happy for the Colorado Buffaloes because he's a very talented player. But that's kind of my gut right now.
And Mark, talk to us about that process, too. Because we've talked to a few players about how it's going to go for them. You know what, 6 weeks or so, they're going to be training and getting evaluated. And then, you know, they're given kind of, hey, this is what we've seen. And tell us, how much do you know about that? Is it like a panel of people that sit down and go, okay, after 6 weeks of evaluating you and based on your career, here's where we think you're going to go? Is that like? Can you talk to us a little bit more about that process?
Yeah, listen, I mean, David Roddy's going to do the same thing. I mean, he's you, right? I mean, as you well know, you're good, pretty tight with him. And so he's going to do the same process. They'll go out and they'll be invited to some tryouts. I mean, the Nuggets will bring some players in here in a few weeks and, everybody in the media will be notified who's coming in, and if it's somebody of note, many of us will run on down there, and we'll get a look at them, and I would think the Nuggets would probably bring in guys like, Jabari Walker and David Roddy, and get a look at those guys. So they evaluate them on those workouts, and then they'll do that a handful of times, and there'll be an accumulation of the information, and then they get information then from the NBA that says, here's what the consensus seems to be about you. Now, both the guys we're talking about are NBA-level talents, okay? David Roddy's unique. That's a unique player. I mean, he's different than most anybody out there, right? Simply because of his size and his girth. And, he's not 6'10". He's 6', six or whatever he is. But he's got a unique skill set. Jabari looks like, conversely then, what they're looking for. He's 6'9", almost 6'10", handles the ball, shoots the ball very well. So he's kind of, from a prototype standpoint, he's kind of got the body that they're looking for. So I think both guys are intriguing prospects. I think both have an amazing opportunity at the next level in the NBA. And so this will be a very valuable process for both of them.
Mark, I hear your co-host back there, but is that Caliber? Which one is that?
The other dog, Remington, never barks. He just goes after pheasants. Caliber, somebody, there's wind blowing up here, so that might mean, who knows? A coyote ran by the back door, a leaf blew over the driveway, or the delivery guy came and dropped some mail off. Who knows? He barks at stuff like that.
I think he agrees with you, though.
Yeah.
No doubt. Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. And so what does this do for the Buffs? Now, obviously, I think with or without Jabari Walker, you and I have talked about this Buffs team pretty young for the most part last year or throughout the course of this season. I still think, you know, both of us kind of think they're going to be pretty good, but how good or how much will this ultimately hurt the Buffs going into next season?
Well, I still think they're an NCAA tournament team next year. I mean, you know, they're think of this. They had four guys. They lost four guys to season-ending injuries this year. And they're one of the youngest teams in the country. And next year, by the way, they're not going to have a senior on the team unless they bring in a transfer guy, which I think is a possibility for Tad Boyle. I would not be shocked if he goes out and finds the right guy. It's going to have to be a very specific guy, like you found with Jariah Horn, but find the right guy to bring in to help bridge the gap from a leadership standpoint. But, you know, Quincy Allen, the highest rated recruit, he was a five-star recruit coming out of the Baltimore area. Didn't play a second for the Buffaloes this year. Javon Ruffin, a high-level shooter, didn't play a second for the Buffaloes this year. They lost Lawson Lovering to seven-footer out of Cheyenne this year after about a third of the season. And, of course, Elijah Parquet down the stretch. So that's a very deep team. They've got a highly regarded recruiting class coming in. R.J. Smith out of the Bay Area in California, real athletic wing player. They've got a 6'10" kid out of North Dakota by the name of Joel Hurlburt that's coming in, who was, you know, recruited by Gonzaga and Wisconsin. So I think they're set up to have a huge year next year for the Colorado Buffaloes. So with Jabari back, it just adds a proven commodity. Without him, I think what you'll see is, you know, Tristan Da Silva was playing out of position this year. Tad Boyle's got a rule. You are the position you can guard, okay? That's why Jabari Walker played the four. Tristan Da Silva played the three. Tristan is a natural four-man, a stretch four, and he kind of deferred to Jabari this season, I think, at times. If Jabari does not come back, Tristan slides over to that four spot. You've probably got somebody along the lines of a Neat Clifford, who's supremely athletic, of course, is 6'6", almost 6'7", playing at the three spot then. And I think Tristan Da Silva becomes more of a priority in terms of a scorer and has to take on more of the load in that regard. So, you know, I think they're loaded like crazy, man. And let's, you know, they were on the verge of being an NCAA tournament team this year, and they were one of the youngest teams in America. So I think they're set up beautifully for next year.
Yeah, I'm leaning that way with you, Mark. Mark, I thought it was interesting, too, and I don't know if we really touched on it much, but some of the Denver media, pretty critical of Tad Boyle this season, you know, talking about, man, the pressure's on him, didn't get his team to the tournament. You and I have had these great conversations about, man, your expectations every single year just to get in. I mean, my goodness, you got to have some leeway. You got to have some recharge room there. I think, again, the Buffs overachieved. But what does that say about Tad Boyle, where he is so great, Mark, that the some of the Denver media actually say, this guy, we should move on from this guy if he doesn't make it to 1 year, especially with a young team that I personally didn't have any realistic expectations for?
First off, what it says is whoever's making that contention does not understand the game of basketball at all.
I'm like, did you even watch some of the season, right?
They don't know anything about the game of basketball. And I don't want to get on – you're in Northern Colorado. I don't want to get into any kind of a battle here with anybody, you know,
sure.
Pac-12 versus Mountain West. But I will tell the story, and maybe I've told it on your show before. Dan Hawkins, when he got here as a football coach, had phenomenal success at Boise State, remember? He got here, we're in year number two, and he's getting his – tail kicked. We're doing the show on a Thursday night. I'm on a location, a coach's show, and he had this far-off look during commercial break. Boise State was on television, and he's staring at the TV. And I said, "You all right?" And he said, "I'm just sitting here realizing how far that is from where I'm sitting." And I said, "What do you mean by that?" And he said, "Mark, at Boise State, I had to get up 2 to 3 times a year to play a high-level game. When I'm playing in the Pac, or Big 12 at that point in time, I guess it would have been," he said, "every single game I have to face NFL talent. Every single game." And that's why when people make those kind of comments, Tad Boyle at a Power 5 conference won 20 games again this year, double-digit games, had a road-winning record this season, and made it to the semifinals of the Pac-12 conference tournament. And there are people that look at that and say, oh, they need to make a change. That is a level of idiocy and a lack of understanding in college basketball that I'm not even sure I would want to address, to be honest with you. I mean, that's silliness to make that kind of comment. That's nothing more than a hot take that somebody is making simply to think they're acting like they know something when they really don't. Well, I mean, that's the silliest comment ever.
And I agree. And trust me, I'm a big Mountain West fan, but I know exactly what you're saying. I get it. It's the Pac-12. If we did we could go down a list right now of every potential pro or pro versus the Mountain West, and the Pac-12 would win hands down every single time, no question about it. And you're exactly right. It is a harder battle. You know, you look at some of the Pac-12 teams, the way they represented ultimately in the tournament compared to the way the Mountain West did.
Did you know right now, and I think I've got this straight, my partner Scott Wilkie was, I told you, a big NBA guy. I think right now the Pac-12 has got the second highest number of current players in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, and that's incredible.
That.
Yes, yeah.
So every single game, you can go out and you're going to play against NBA talent. And, you know, then you begin beating each other up and on and on and on. And so, you know, that's the only point I'm making. And that's why it's so bothersome when I hear people make those kind of comments. When you're playing in a conference of that level and every game you're playing against NBA caliber guys, and by the way, and Tad's not going out. In the last couple of years, he's had a very highly regarded recruiting class. But, you know, in large part, he's been kind of going with, and he's not going out and getting you five-star guys. He's getting quality and quantity, and he's putting together these recruiting classes, put together very solid basketball teams. And so it's bothersome that at this point, this deep in his career, and I guess this is what he's got to do, Brady, he's got to make a run of the Sweet 16. One of these years, he's going to have to do it. And that way, you get deeper in the tournament there. You're the second weekend. You kind of take that argument away because that's the one argument people have had against him. But, you know, he's aware of that. He and I have talked about that.
Mark, I kind of look at Tad Boyle like, and I'm not comparing at all, but I look at it like Bill Belichick. Like, he doesn't have to win the Super Bowl every year. He doesn't even have to go deep into the playoffs every year. I know that Belichick is one of, if not the greatest coaches of all time. I need to see like five seasons in a row of like four win seasons before I'd move on. I look at Tad, and you and I have had these long conversations, and I say, you're not going to get any better than Tad Boyle. And, you know, this year alone, I would have been more apt to say he should be considered. He wouldn't, but he should be considered for Pac-12 Coach of the Year just because of what he did with the team that I didn't have any expectations for. But instead, we go the opposite, and you just look at the 20 wins or whatever and say, you didn't get in, pressure's on you. It's like, man, for CU especially, you got to have recharge period. This isn't Duke where it's just a gimme. You're going to reload every single year, and there's like 10 teams that can claim to do that. The rest, they have recharge years.
Yeah, it's not Kansas, who, by the way, is still under investigation by the NCAA and the FBI, by the way. And so you know, that's the answer I always like giving people is like, okay, yeah, you want it to be Kansas? Do you know how much cheating is going on there? I mean, you know, and I know that's a very blunt statement, but listen, they just won the national championship, and they've got a cloud hanging over them right now from an illegal activity standpoint like crazy, okay? And that kind of stuff is happening all over the place. Tad Boyle, his reputation within the coaching world is clean as the driven snow and will not cheat, does not cheat, and puts a team on the court every single year in a Power 5 conference that is going to be playing at the top level of the league, okay? And half the time he's making the postseason. He's winning 20. He's averaging over 20 wins a season. It really is startling that at this point that people within the media who claim to know the sport of basketball continue to make those kind of comments.
Especially Denver media. They're supposed to be closer and watching buffs, right?
Yep. No, exactly right. And I think a lot of times outside media, people that aren't here in Denver actually are smarter about it and understand what Tad has done, because this was a job here that was a coach killer. Bobby Knight told Jeff Buzdelic when he told this job, I can't believe you took that job. That's where careers go to die.
Wow.
And Tad has turned it into a program where, you know, every year, mark it down, 20 wins, he'll be in the postseason, NCAA or NIT, he'll be competing in the Pac-12, you know, in the top four or five there, and he's putting the guys in the NBA on a regular basis. So it's stunning to me. You still got people that are going, yeah, I don't want any more of that. I need a change. You got to be kidding me.
For me, there are certain guys that if you follow their career close enough, you just look at them and say, no. I mean, you don't have to win a championship. You don't have to get to the Sweet 16 necessarily for me. And again, look what happened with UNC. I mean, March Madness is crazy. We never know what's going to happen. And then that's part of it, too. So it's hard to win a title. It really is. And as you said, you got a guy that just does it the right way. Mark, we didn't even get a touch base on spring spring ball. I'm running out of time, but
we can do that next week.
We can do that next week. But quickly, just give me the first thing that hits the top of your head. You know, as far as something that stood out from you for you the last week.
R.J. Sneed, the transfer from Baylor, is a high-level wide receiver. And that quarterback battle is going to be fascinating because both Brendan Lewis and JT Shrout and even Maddox Copp are looking very good so far.
I think you're exactly right. That's going to be exciting because Brendan Lewis, I know Coach Durrell does think highly of him, even with a tough season last year. But maybe this is that situation where real competition will bring the best out in all of these quarterbacks.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, all boats rise when you get great competition like that, so that's my hope.
Mark, I love it, as always, my man. Tell the pups we said hi, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good, Brady.
All right, man. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. He gets a little frustrated with the Tad Boyle stuff. I'm not as close to Tad. I love Tad. I think Tad's an amazing guy. But I'm not going to – it did frustrate me when I see Denver media reporters essentially saying things like Tad should be – the Buff should move on from Tad Boyle because he didn't make it to March Madness this year. This year, for sure, if you're going to use that to judge, then you're off. You're an idiot because they were young. They were replacing McKinley Wright. You have to have a recharge factor. Unless you're Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, like these great teams that are just traditionally great, that, you know, Coach K's recruiting job probably got really easy down the road. I'm not taking anything away from him, but it was easy to recharge. CU doesn't have that reputation. It didn't have that reputation before Tad got there. So now Tad's there, and it's still you still have to give a year of leeway, 2 years of leeway, a year of missing the tournament, maybe two, and then you reload for the next 4 or 6 years. That's how it goes with CU right now. That's how it goes with 90% of the schools that are hoping to be good. Is you have to have downtime. You have to have reload time. And I think Tad, so the idea that they should ever move on, Tad's going to be there until he's done. Just mark my words. They're not moving on from Tad Boyle. And if that's what your hope is, then you don't hold your breath. 12:51 the time. We'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Allo Communications Studios. The Avalanche clinched the playoffs. Surprise, surprise. Are we looking at the best Avalanche team in their history? They have a chance to do something that no other team's done in Colorado. We'll talk about it next.
Keep it tuned to Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.